are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball!
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me on Twitter, at Kuka Hill NBA. You can also find me on YouTube, at Kuz Ballroom. You can also find me over at Detroit Bad Boys. Writing articles about the Pistons, and today's episode is coming out on Saturday. I didn't come up with an episode on Friday because I wanted to get this guest in, and he could record on Friday, so I canceled Fridays. We're going to be uploading this one on Saturday, so I hope you guys enjoy it. But we were lucky enough to have Duncan Smith on the podcast, formerly the host of this podcast a few years ago. He's also over at Hoops Habit now. Duncan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Ku. I'm excited to be back on Locked On Pistons. I had a pretty good 3-week run or so a few years ago hosting this podcast. So yeah, this podcast has always had a close spot in my heart, and I've been very fond of all the guys who have hosted this podcast. You know, yourself, Matt, Dan Feldman, going back to the OG host of this podcast. So I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, so go ahead and let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter. I just want to make sure I don't misspell everything. Is it just Duncan Smith NBA?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Duncan Smith NBA.
I'm sure everyone listening to this already follows you, but I'm obligated to do that kind of thing to be fair to everybody. But I'm sure everyone already is following you. But this week we've had Lazarus Jackson over at Detroit Bad Boys, and also the host of the Pistons vs. Everybody podcast. We had the Locked On NBA draft host Richard on here as well, and we're cycling through a bunch of different people for the next week and a half, basically going to be talking about the same thing, but just trying to get different perspectives, if there is any different ones. I know you guys are tired of hearing me say the same thing about Cade and this draft coming up. So we're going to be asking Duncan and going through the same type of questions with Duncan. So I hope you guys enjoy it. But Duncan, obviously the Pistons won the first overall pick. I know you were in the Spotify green room when it happened. I tried to join in a little bit afterwards, but I had already missed the initial excitement that had taken over. Can you just tell everybody what exactly was your reaction? What happened when you saw the Houston Rockets card come up? Like, what was the overall reaction from your household?
Well, it was funny because, as you mentioned, we did have a Spotify green room. I forget if it was green room at the time or if it was still locker room back then, but be that as it may, we had that room going. There was a pretty good turnout. There was, you know, 20 plus probably, just about our usual group in there. And I think I was on like a 10 or 15 second delay. Like I was viewing on Hulu and it was just a bit slow. So I was like way behind like the reactions of everybody in the group. Like I knew what happened at least 15 seconds before I actually saw it on the screen. So it was kind of a bizarre moment. I was very happy to hear how happy everybody in the room was. I was obviously pleased as well. You know, there's nothing to be unhappy about when you you get the first pick, especially in a solid draft like this. So yeah, I was very pleased. There were, I believe there were actually genuine tears in that locker room. I'm not going to name names, but there was a lot of raw emotion. I was very happy that we were able to get that particular group of people in for our Spotify green room. But yeah, I was very delighted, very pleased. And, it was nice to see something good happen to the Pistons for the first time in like well over a decade now.
So before we go any further, I just got to say, is that your cat or dog in the background?
That's a cat.
Okay. Yeah, so have a cat. You have a cat and how many dogs?
Three dogs. They're downstairs right now. They're probably all sleeping on the downstairs couch. I've got a German Shepherd who is the big baby of the group. She's a year old. And then a 14-year-old Shih Tzu who the German Shepherd absolutely adores, but the Shih Tzu doesn't want the attention from the German Shepherd, so they they generate a little conflict in there. And then there's a little white mop of a Pomeranian that is the big tough bully of the group and is also like by far the smallest dog of the three.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And then so, the cat here sleeps 20 hours a day.
That's why I'm a cat person. They don't got to mess with me.
They don't do much, yeah.
But going back to the lottery, et cetera. So go ahead and tell everybody, I believe you won some money on the Pistons getting the one overall pick. If you want to go ahead and explain to everybody how that happened.
So going back to the beginning of the second round of the NBA playoffs, you had this feeling that the Brooklyn Nets were going to just absolutely tear through the playoffs. And I had a feeling that maybe they'd win this championship, but I didn't think it was going to be as easy as it looked like it would be. After game two, I think was when we had this conversation, the Bucks trailed in that game by 49 points at one point. And I just didn't think that like this was going to be sustainable. And so you and I worked out a little bet between the two of us. And that bet was that my side of the bet was that the Nets would lose over 3.5 games the rest of the playoffs. Your bet was that they would lose less than 3.5 games. So we made this bet with the Nets up 2-0 on the Bucks, and the rest, as they say, is history. The Bucks ended up winning 4 of the next 5 games. I think Kyrie hurt himself within like moments of like game action after this bet was made. So friendly little $25 bet. I decided kind of on a whim. I think you challenged me to do this.
Correct.
You challenged me to make a bet that the Pistons would win the first overall pick. And I was like, sure, I'll just bet the amount that I won off of you. And so I bet 25 to win, I think, $137.50 or something like that. And sure enough, I think actually you guys in the green room chat were jumping all over that bet as much as you were over the fact that like the Pistons had won that pick. There was a lot of excitement over the fact that I made like the easiest $137 of my life. or nearly the easiest, at least. It was pretty funny, and I was delighted that you got to play the part of the Rube in that bet.
Well, you know, I definitely, you know, I said it at the time. If there was a bet, I would have been happy losing. It would have been that one, because I want Giannis to win a ring. So hopefully, when we're recording this, it's 2-2 right now in this final series. So hopefully, he goes on, wins the whole thing. I don't have to look back on that as too much of disgust that I lost $25. But anyways, going back into the lottery, lastly, real quick. So was there like any kind of like feeling inside that you had that like maybe this is a year the Pistons legit will win? I believe like almost everyone I've had on here so far have said, nah, we felt like it was probably like either 5-6 or like maybe not as bad, but definitely not going up. No one really felt they were going to move up. Did you have any kind of feeling like maybe this could be the year?
I mean, you always have like the faintest of feelings, you know, like it's always possible. I didn't expect it. I think even like having the best possible odds, they had like what, 14% to win it. That's not very much, you know, it's something, but it's not much. So I didn't have any kind of special feeling that they were going to win. Although, you know, the fact that I had lucky money on the outcome, it did sway me a little bit. You know, I kind of had a little bit more of a feeling after I placed the bet than before I placed the bet. But honestly, no, I you know, 14% is a pretty fading amount. So I was astonished that they won it.
Yeah, I think we all were. I definitely, we've talked about it many times, but you guys all saw my reaction, all of you guys listening. On the Locked On stream when it happened. Part of me definitely wanted to be in the green room because I knew I wanted to be able to hear everyone's reaction. But I think it paid off because you guys got to see a reaction from me that hopefully was pretty entertaining to see. But when we come back, we're going to talk about – we're gonna ask Duncan about his feelings on Cade Cunningham, what I believe is the consensus number one overall pick. Ask him, does he believe he also should be the consensus number one overall pick? We'll dive into it like we have with the last two guys about Cade versus Jalen Green. Is there any kind of legit argument with that, etc.? But before we get into all that, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, BetOnline AG. Betting is now legal in Michigan, and if you're anything like me, you want to take advantage of that instantly. However, there's one problem I constantly ran into. There's so many different apps to bet through. Which betting app is the best to use? Which one is the best for me? That's when I found BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL season might be over, but the NBA and MLB are still in full swing. If you want to take your advantage beyond sports, however, BetOnline has you covered there too. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, things I didn't even know you could bet on. BetOnline has real-time updated odds and props on just about anything you can imagine. BetOnline is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to BetOnline now to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, so before we move on, I just wanted to say something about this last live read I just did with BetOnline. So this is a little funny story. So yesterday, I'm sitting down on the couch with my fiance, and we're watching Manifested. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Duncan, or you know what it is. But I think it's an entertaining show, but also I feel like it's also a very stupid show. I don't know. But anyways.
Yeah, good description. Very apt.
But anyways, we're sitting down watching it, and we're watching this one episode. Basically, there's a security guard betting on, like, live betting online. And someone walks in and is like, you know, that's illegal. I could get you, blah, blah, trying to blackmail him, etc. So my fiance turns over to me and she says, she turns over to me and she says, oh, he must not know that betting is now legal in Michigan. And so I thought that was absolutely hilarious when she did it. She listens to every podcast I do. So the fact that she even listens through the reads and everything is pretty funny to me. That got a little chuckle out of me. But that's anyways.
Awesome. Yeah, not every significant other, like, reads or listens or whatever to, like, podcasts and general content. So, yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely. It's very cool. She usually listens to them every day because she wakes up at like 6:30 in the morning to go to work. And I usually wake up, like, I don't know how, like, instinct. I just wake up because she's up. And I always hear her playing it in the other room while she's getting ready. So it's pretty cool to hear that and get that support from her. But anyways, Duncan, obviously, you know that I'm a big Cade Cunningham. He should be the pick. Like, I'm just like, you know, take Cade and call it a day. We've talked about this in the Spotify Green Room. But go ahead and share your thoughts with all the listeners. What is your overall thoughts about Cade Cunningham before we even get into the details about whether we believe, if you believe the Pistons should select him and whether it should be an easy decision? Just what are your overall thoughts about Cunningham himself as a player?
Well, I think that he has the benefit of being, like, the best player available and also a great fit, simply because you know, his size and his length and his skill set, they translate really well to a team that needs the playmaking and the size and also the shooting that he's developed. You know, since Cade was, like, the presumptive pick to go number one and the Pistons have number one, I have not really delved all that deeply into the non-Cade draft picks, especially as far as, like, how they would relate to being Pistons, essentially. So, you know, that right there kind of defaults me to being predisposed to Cade being the guy. But I also genuinely think that he makes, like, so much sense as the number one guy, whoever would end up being there. So, yeah, I think that he is a very suitable, if not consensus, near consensus number one.
So what is your overall thoughts? And like I said, me and you have talked about this before off the podcast, but just what's your overall thoughts on, like, all these rumors that are going on, the speculation that's been happening? It's, I know everyone knows that I'm very fed up with it, and it's just very annoying for me. It's, I don't like it. It's been very annoying for me to have to deal with. But just what's your thoughts about everything going on? I mean, we've even heard, like, OKC has a haul that might want to go up and get the number one pick. We've heard, oh, Houston really wants Cade Cunningham. And a lot of people feel like Houston fans all of a sudden feel entitled to that number one overall pick. We've heard the Pistons may trade down. We've heard they may just pick someone else with number one. Like, we've heard all kinds of different things about this. And as of today, we even got a recent rumor today from somebody, I forget who it was, but it was a report, and he said that the Pistons are, quote unquote, very likely to select Cade Cunningham with the number one overall pick. So what's your overall thoughts about all this speculation that's been going on since the Pistons won the lottery, like, I believe 3 weeks ago?
Well, you've got a situation where the Pistons are obviously going to play their cards close to their vest. You know, they are not incentivized to give out any more information than they absolutely have to. And, you know, Troy Weaver comes from a fairly tight-lipped organization with the Thunder. You know, things didn't really leak there. So, you know, I think that the lack of information coming from the Pistons, as well as, you know, like it's not an unusual lack of information. It's like a number one pick holding team in general isn't going to be incentivized to divulge more information than need be. So I think that the fact that the Pistons haven't just come out and said, we're taking Cade Cunningham. I think that in combination with the fact that media outlets, they have to generate content from somewhere, you know, and having sort of like an ambiguous level of information out of the Pistons, you know, goes a long way. And I think also too, this is not unusual for like this portion of the NBA season's media cycle. It's just, the Pistons have never been here before. So, you know, we as Pistons fans and analysts and observers and so forth, we're not really used to being, having the spotlight shining quite this bright. So it seems like more intense and so forth than it usually is. You know, like I think something we talked about yesterday in Green Room is that like the gap between Cade and the rest is not as great as say Zion and Ja Morant. And, you know, that was a draft obviously where the Pelicans weren't trading like for anything. But you know, sometimes you've got a situation like the Markelle Fultz, Jason Tatum, Celtics and Sixers swap where, you know, one team just sniffs something out and wants to get out of the way. I don't think that that's the case with the Pistons here, you know, but at the same time, there's no reason for them to, I think I've said this like three or four times now, there's no reason for them to be more forthcoming with data and information about, like their big board, their plans, the priorities that they have, than they have been. So, you know, I think that the lack of smoke coming from the Pistons, the fact that media outlets and organizations are going to you know, generate content as they will, and also a whole bunch of teams would really love to get that number one pick. You know, I think that those factors all combined are where we find ourselves right now. And I think it's a whole lot of smoke, but you know, it still exists and it's still something you have to kind of parse through.
So you mentioned earlier that you thought that Cade not only is like the best player available, but you think he's a really good fit with the Pistons. Do you think that he is such a good fit with the Pistons simply because he's best player available? Like, is it that kind of thing where you're getting the quote unquote the guy, like however high people have been thinking he is? Everyone thinks he's going to be that kind of franchise altering type of guy. Is that what you're speaking to, him simply being that type of guy, and that's why he's a fit, because the Pistons need that type of person? Or are you saying, well, that's the case, but also you think he also seems to fit with the roster that is here right now?
Well, in the situation the Pistons find themselves in, I don't really care about best fit that much. So the fact that he is the best player available is what matters. And then the fact that he also simply fits because, you know, size and skill set, basically. The size and skill set that he provides. The fact that I believe it also makes him the best fit is a nice bonus, but on a team that won 20 games last year, just plugging the best player available is like always going to, you know, provide a nice fit. It's not as though he is going to be particularly redundant. You know, I'm pretty sure that Killian Hayes can play off of him if need be, just perfectly fine. I think that that's a backcourt that is going to have a lot going for it, you know, especially defensively and from a playmaking perspective. And, you know, ideally, Killian's going to be a better jump shooter this coming season than he was last season. So being able to work off of a player like Cade as opposed to, you know, the various assortment of guards at the Pistons threw around Killian at various points last year. You know, I think that he is going to be able to provide this team a lot more, like right off the bat, than anybody else in this draft class.
So we're going to talk about actually the Cade and Killian fit and whether that's a concern for you at all, or do you buy into those who are concerned about it, et cetera, in the last segment. But before we get into all that, and before we get into this ad read real quick, do you put any stock into this? I've asked, I believe, Laz about this, or Locked On Draft host, Richard. I don't know which one it was, but do you put, like, is it like a cherry on top to you at all, or do you think it's just, oh, we know he just wants to go number one, that's all it is? Because we have heard multiple times from Cade himself on his Instagram Live when the Pistons won the lottery. I believe his quote was, we're about to go turn Detroit up. We also have heard him multiple times on Instagram Lives and his workouts say something about wanting to go to Detroit. We've heard his trainer mention multiple times about wanting to go to Detroit and about how they're happy to go there. I think they also made a comment about wanting to become the announcers there or something, like messing around about, you know, because Mason's so popular. And they also, I believe, we just had a report last week that came out and said that he's very excited and wants to join the Pistons. Do you think that that should, like, put a cherry on top for this selection to be so easy? Because one of the things for me is that Detroit, I don't want to call Detroit a small market anymore, because I had a podcast a few weeks ago, maybe even a month and a half ago, saying why I believe Detroit isn't really a small market. But either way, it's a smaller market compared to the rest of the NBA teams at the top who attract free agents. I think when you have a player like Cade, who figures, in my opinion, to be the best player in this draft, if you're having conversation about, but then also, like, the guy that everyone thinks is going to be, like, the best player also seems to be really, like, really wants to be a part of your team and wants to go there, I feel like that should make your decision even easier as well. Because it's not like everyone wants to come to Detroit and be here. Do you think that helps at all? Or do you think that's just, whatever, he's probably just saying that because his first overall pick, it doesn't really matter?
I think being first overall is probably the most important thing. But I also think that I kind of feel like maybe this is just, like, from, you know, from more closely observing the Pistons and sort of having, like, more of a vibe for the Pistons than, like, national people might. I do kind of feel as though there's, like, a up-and-coming slant to them that a guy like Cade might enjoy. You know, if you look at, like, Jeremy Grant last season, where you know, he had the option of being a third best player on a potentially championship contender, or being, like, the guy and the cornerstone of a once great franchise trying to rebuild it. I think that, like, there's a certain type of player and a certain type of guy that might really appeal to. You know, you've got the fact that the Pistons are, you know, kind of like a traditional powerhouse in a sense. You know, they're a historic franchise. They've got three championships. The NBA is a league where not very many teams have any championships, let alone multiple championships over multiple eras. So, you know, I don't know if Cade has, like, some sort of particular, you know, fond feeling of, like, the going to work Pistons or anything like that. But, I do think that the opportunity to, like, rebuild a once great franchise could be really appealing, especially to a guy like Cade, who the sky may well be the limit for how good he can be. You know, if there's a franchise to be able to potentially elevate, why not do that with a destitute franchise like the Pistons, who were once upon a time great? You know, like, he could potentially join, like, you know, the pantheon of Pistons legends. And, you know, not every franchise has that particular appeal, I think.
So the thing is, usually, and we're going to move into Killian and Cade real quick after this, but the reason why I put a little bit more stock into it, outside of it just being, like, number one overall pick, is because, like, I believe in that same Instagram Live when he's like, we're about to go turn Detroit up, I'm pretty sure, like, he said in there, either he said it or one of his friends said, and they were all laughing, they said, thank God it wasn't, at least it wasn't Cleveland. So, like, he didn't have to say, like, nice things about Detroit, I guess. Obviously, he wants to go number one, but I honestly, I like it when you see guys seem like they really want to be, like, a Detroit Piston and want to come to Detroit, whether it's because of first overall pick or whatever. It's just that throughout my life, I haven't seen many players that are willingly wanting to come to Detroit. That was one of the reasons why I really liked Andre Drummond when he was here, because he seemed like he definitely bought into the city's culture and everything. He wanted to be here. So anytime there's a dude who seems like that he wants to be here, I think that should be taken into account, because I just feel like not everybody. And I do believe, like you said, that there could be, like, a slant and change in perception about that moving forward, possibly in the next few years. But as of right now, I just feel like that if he really wants, like he's really excited to be a Piston and wants to be in Detroit, add on to the fact that he's simply the best player available, I just feel like the choice would be pretty easy. But when we come back, we're going to talk about Cade and Killian Hayes, his fit with the Pistons first round pick from last season. And then we'll probably dive into a couple other smaller things. But before we get into all that, let me tell you guys about your guys' favorite sponsor, Built Bar. The best tasting protein bar on the planet Earth comes with a variety of flavors, including six new flavors in caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. All flavors are covered in incredible tasting chocolate and are soft and easy on the teeth to chew. These bars are low in calorie and sugar, but high in protein and fiber. A flavor I suggest is the peanut butter flavor, packed with 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and only 5 gram net carbs. So go try a Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. All right, Duncan, so obviously there's been some noise or some concern about the potential fit between who everyone believes the Pistons are going to select, Cade Cunningham, and last year's first-round pick, and actually their first-round pick last year, they had three, their first-round pick last year in Killian Hayes. Are you worried at all about their potential fit together, or do you think it's a whole bunch of nothing?
I think that their fit actually is strangely appealing. I think that defensively, they're going to be they may terrorize opposing backcourts defensively. They've got a lot of length. Killian is like he came into the league as a surprisingly ready-made defender. I think that like an extra this off season of work and development for him could make him an even better defender. We'll see how well Cade actually defends against NBA. Offensive players, but he has the size and the strength and the length to be able to defend really well. So I think that the combination of the two of them could be a shutdown backcourt, so to speak, especially like relative to other young players and young backcourts. I think that they've got a lot of upside there. And I like the idea of having multiple ball handlers and facilitators on offense. I think that if Killian is able to shoot better next season than he was this past season, I think that that'll go a long way towards that fit. Like him being able to be a threat off the ball would be a huge development. He played pretty well when he played off of Sabin Lee. In spots down the stretch at the end of the season. I think that Cade is going to be a whole lot better than Sabin Lee at getting him open and creating opportunities for Killian and the rest of his teammates. So, I don't think it's going to be a perfect fit. But if Killian can play off the ball, so much the better. And if he can't, that's not a good enough reason to pass up on Cade, basically. So I think that Killian's going to have to mold his game around that situation. But I think that he has at least some of the skills and the potential to add the skills he doesn't yet possess in order to fit well alongside Cade.
So you mentioned something in there that I really want to talk about, and how you like the fact that to have like multiple ball handlers on the floor at once. And I feel like there's a lot of fans and there's a lot of people now who see like these heliocentric offenses and assume that like that's the way the NBA is going, like leaning towards, like that's the way it's going. Like, I guess in, like some examples would be like James Harden in Houston, Luka now with Dallas. I'm sure there's other examples as well. I actually very much agree with you. I think having multiple playmakers on the floor is actually ideal and what you want. I don't get like this concern with having multiple playmakers on the floor, because if you ask all those teams that run the heliocentric offense, if you ask their players, I guarantee they probably would like to have someone else out there who could do something, and so they don't have to do everything themselves. And I think you see in multiple playoff series too, in playoff games, that like if they simply had someone else who could do something, someone else that could play, make, and do stuff with the ball in their hands, they would be a whole lot tougher to guard. But it's much easier to key in on one guy running the entire offense. And I think as well, Dwayne Casey has made it very clear in his, what was it now, 4 years here now, I think, 4 or 3 years now, that he likes multiple ball handlers on the floor. He said it multiple times. He's run multiple lineups with like even three guards out there that can ball handle. So he likes that as well. And lastly, I think it's a little bit, a whole lot of nothing. I said a little bit, a whole lot. I think it's a whole lot of nothing with this concern over the fit, because it's not like the Pistons would be saying, hey, Killian, you're simply an off-ball player, or Cade, you're simply an off-ball player. Like, they can both handle the ball in different, like, possessions, like, throughout a possession. Like, it's not like one of them is being, oh, you're simply just a catch-and-shoot guy now. Like, I don't see that being the role for either of them. I don't see that, like, becoming the case. I just think that the Pistons are going to be even harder to guard now, because they have two guys who are capable of finding the open guy in pick-and-roll situations on driving kicks. You got a guy who seems to be a much better offensive scorer at multiple different levels in Cade. And then also hoping that Killian improves on his shooting, he could become one of that too. So the fact that you could have possibly two guys at 6'5 and above with some good length who are capable not only of finding open guys and pick and roll situations and driving kicks and et cetera, and transition, et cetera. And then also guys hoping if Killian finds a shot that can score as well. I think that makes the Pistons really hard to guard. And that's not even talking about the fact that they also will have Jeremy Grant out there as well, who proved that he's pretty good in isolation now and has improved multiple parts of his game. So I don't really get the concern about it, because I think it's something great that you'd want to have on your team. There's multiple guys out there who can make you pay, not just one, and putting a lot of load on his shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, having a heliocentric star is never a bad thing in the NBA, but also having somebody who can take some of that load off that star's shoulders is a benefit. And if Cade can be that heliocentric star, and if Killian can be that guy who can lighten his load from a, you know, a playmaking and facilitating standpoint, then I just don't see how that's a bad thing.
All right. So lastly, this will be the last thing we talk about here. Duncan, you know, at the beginning of the last season, I won't say that I had completely given up or like was trying to be too harsh on him, but I definitely was getting kind of concerned or was getting a little worried about Killian Hayes after his first, what was it, 7 or 9 games that he played before he got hurt. I was a little bit worried. And that was, I believe, in January he got hurt, I believe. So if you asked me about this in January, my answer would be completely different than now. Before we get into that, let me ask you this. Are you tempering your expectations of Killian Hayes moving forward now after his rookie season? Or do you find yourself still having the same kind of expectation at the rookie season? Or do you have yourself thinking even more highly of it? Like, where are you at now based from where you were before the season to where you are now about Killian Hayes?
My expectations are a bit higher. I think there's, you know, there's certainly room for concern with him to some degree, but, he was between the draft and the beginning of training camp. I don't remember the exact timetable, but it was in the realm of a few weeks before, you know, he was in action with NBA guys. And then it was like days after that when, preseason games and like regular season games got started. So it was a real whirlwind for him. Obviously he was not good before he got hurt. But when he came back after his 41 game layoff, I think it seemed as though things had slowed down for him a bit. It seemed, you know, he was still not a good shooter by any means, but it just looked like he was a bit more comfortable. And I feel as though maybe some of that, like just like time to acclimate to his environment, couldn't have hurt. And I think that like a full off season of development and training and working at the Pistons headquarters and in their gym and in their facilities, it can only help. And I think that that the fact that he's actually going to have the time to put in that kind of work with NBA coaches, no offense to his coaches overseas, but you know, they're not NBA coaches. So I think that that's going to go a long way for him. If he has another disappointing season in year two, then we're probably going to have a problem. But I think he's got the opportunity to thrive and succeed. And hopefully he's able to make the most of that.
So I'm going to kind of twist it into this question as well. So what I was saying before I asked that question was that in January, I was not that high on Killian Hitt. I was getting a little bit worried. Afterwards and after the season and watching film, I am now completely flipped and I'm extremely high on Killian and I expect really big things out of him. Also, if you go on the flip side, Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart, I'm not as high on. Pistons fans have came at me over this. They have not been happy by some of the things I say. I simply don't have Isaiah Stewart. Not Isaiah Stewart. Sadiq Bey, I don't have as much of a ceiling on him. I think his floor is pretty high, but I question how much better he can really get. And Isaiah Stewart, I think that Pistons fans need to be like willing to accept and be happy if he turns out to be simply a really good backup or like an average to above average, possibly starting center. Any of those areas right there for Isaiah Stewart, I think would be a hit for his pick, like a really good hit. I think everyone should be really excited about that. But basically, I wanted to twist this all into this question for you and just get your thoughts on this. If you take those three rookies and you rate them based on what you think their ceiling can be or who you're higher on becoming a better player in the future, my standings right now go as Killian Hayes, Isaiah Stewart, Sadiq Bey. That's my standings right there based off the question I just asked. And I actually just put out a film breakdown on YouTube and on Twitter of Sadiq Bey and why I'm concerned about him not becoming not a good player, but him just simply being like not much better than what he is now, which is still like a decent guy. He can be like a really good 3-and-D player. Like I've seen people mention like Jay Crowder, maybe a better version of that. I think that would be a good role for him to have like for the next 12 years in the NBA. I think he's that type of player. But if you made me pick standings, it would be like Killian Hayes, Isaiah Stewart, then Sadiq. What would your standings be based off like the criteria I gave?
You know, I think maybe Killian has a higher ceiling than those three guys. So, you know, then we have to evaluate how likely he is to hit that. But right now, if we just like evaluated where they are right now, I would say for me, I think that what Sadiq does is, or can do at least, is a bit more valuable than Isaiah Stewart's, you know, what he can provide. So if we're looking at like where they stand, like right now, this day, it would be Sadiq, then Isaiah, then Killian. But I think that Killian does have the ceiling to move to the top of that list.
Would you agree?
It's tough because like right now, you know, he is like, his rookie season was really rough and it's hard to project it like being exceptionally better, especially to like overtake, you know, a guy like Sadiq, who had a rookie of the week and had some pretty good honors and has, you know, been selected to go play for the USA select team and things like that. So, you know, Sadiq is already in a pretty good place as a player. So I think that if Killian was to overtake him, you know, in my opinion, at least, I think that that would be a very good outcome for Killian.
So do you agree or disagree with my assumption that Sadiq is pretty close to the player he's going to be in the NBA for the next 10 to 12 years? Or are you higher on his ceiling than I am? Are you higher on Sadiq's future than I am? Or do you think he's relatively close to where he's going to be at?
I mean, like, I think that one of the reasons that we kind of, like, perceive Sadiq as, like, near his ceiling already is because he's just been a pretty good rookie already, and rookies are generally not very good. So I think that it's probably a fool's errand to try and, like, cap any rookie's ceiling. You know, he's not the youngest rookie ever, but, you know, he is still a rookie. So I think that like taking away his ceiling and saying like what he is what he is, and that's fine, is probably a bit reductive. I don't think there's any reason to think that he can't improve and that his ceiling may be higher than it seems right now. So I don't want to underrate what Sadiq could end up being.
That's fair. So Duncan mentioned yesterday on Spotify Groom, we seem to disagree on a lot of things. And that's just one of those things that I disagree with him on. That's fine, though. We need to get different perspectives on here. That's why I had him on here. For me, it's just I look at Sadiq And I don't think he has, in order for him to improve, he would have to improve for me. He would have to improve in just about every area inside the arc. He'd have to get better touch around the rim. His playmaking would have to get better. His processing would have to get better. His decision-making would have to get better. And this is all assuming that he's going to be given like the chance to like kind of improve those things, I guess. If the Pistons have Killian, Cade, and Jeremy, I don't think he's going to get anywhere near the touches that he got last year either in his rookie season. So I question that as well. I also think that Isaiah Stewart, you mentioned this earlier. I actually think that Isaiah Stewart, what he does, is something more valuable than Sadiq. I think Sadiq, his archetype is a 3-and-D guy, like I said. Like, I think he can be like a better version of Jay Crowder throughout his career. I think that's where his like ceiling is, which I don't think that's a bad ceiling. But I think that's like an upper, I think he's a better version of Jay Crowder possibly. But Isaiah Stewart, I think that for me personally, I think that Isaiah Stewart's being able to switch. Well, we saw him this past season have a pretty good job at switching out on guys on the perimeter, moving really well in the perimeter for a big guy, moving well in the pick and roll game, dropping, playing high. He's strong. He plays physical on defense. He seemed to be a lot better rim protector than people expected him to be. And then also on offense, he seems to have really good touch. He gets boards. He hustles down on the block. He gets good putbacks. And also it seems like he has the potential to also become a big who can hit threes. So I feel like that if you look at that type of player who could possibly hit threes, has a pretty good touch around the rim, is a better defender than people thought he was going to be, a better rim protector than they thought he was going to be, and then also pretty good on the perimeter as well on switchouts. I feel like that is a player who's more valuable. I think I would rather take that type of player than the 3-and-D guy, which I think the 3-and-D guy, you can find a lot of them in today's NBA. Maybe, I'm not saying you can find a lot of Sadiqs, like I'm not saying anyone's like Sadiq, obviously he's his own player, but I think the role that he's going to fill in his career is easier to find than the role of what I think Isaiah Stewart's potential is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good argument, and I don't really have anything to dispute that. You know, I think that, you know, that's a solid case. It's a solid case.
Also, I think I'm suffering from getting a little too high on Killian Hayes. I still think that Killian possibly could become a star in the NBA. I've become really high on him, so I think that has a lot to do with it as well. I think I've just gotten a little too high on Killian Hayes. But if there's anything else, Duncan, that you wanted to hit on, you wanted to mention, go ahead before we wrap up the podcast.
No, I think we've covered the general topics that we needed to hit. It's like a one-on-one version of our Spotify green room these days.
Basically,
this is essentially what we talk about ad nauseum, 2 times a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, or Mondays and Thursdays at 2 o'clock on Spotify Green Room.
I always mention everybody, make sure even before you get on here, I always mention, make sure everyone joins us on those, because for real, those be a lot of fun. We all get to have, I mean, this trivia is a lot of fun at the end of the podcast as well, but also just talking with everybody.
With Keith Black, make sure.
Yep.
At Charlatan 28 on Twitter.
Yep. The historian. Master. Mm-hmm. The historian of history itself, like I tell you guys all the time, that's who Keith is. But the trivia is fun, and also just being able to talk with everybody and communicate with everybody and engage with a bunch of people from not even just Detroit. It's a lot of fun in there. So make sure you guys join Duncan and all of us in his room on Mondays and Thursdays at 2 p.m. Also, the Locked On Pistons room at 2 o'clock on Saturdays. But thank you, Duncan, for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. Let everybody know where they can find you again.
My pleasure. You can follow me on Twitter at DuncanSmithNBA, and you can find my work on Hoops Habit, where I'm the site expert there.
There you go. So once again, thank you for coming on, man. I appreciate it. Also, actually, I have to say this. Duncan, how many times have you watched the Star Trek series that you keep tweeting about?
Oh, well, it's Voyager that I've been tweeting about most recently.
That's not Star Trek?
Star Trek Voyager. It's one of the series. There's like half a dozen. I guess there's more than that now with new Star Trek series coming out every year. But I watched Star Trek Voyager in passing at times as a kid, and now I'm kind of like doing a full rewatch, and I'm like the first couple episodes of season 3, and it's so much better than I remembered. Like Voyager was a series I had no interest in seeing. It was the worst of the series as far as I was concerned. And now that I'm watching it as a grown-up, I enjoy it a whole lot more than I had planned on doing. So, yeah, that's that's been my recent Star Trek project of late is watching through Star Trek Voyager for not the first time, but like start to finish. I've already seen a couple episodes that I don't remember having ever seen, which is not something I can say about any of the other series.
Fair enough. I just had to ask you because Duncan has been like this ever since I first followed him and first found him. He legit has been like this Star Trek just super fan. I know. Didn't you write for like a Star Trek site as well, like for Fansided or something?
Yeah, Fansided's Star Trek site, Red Shirts Always Die. I was a site expert there for a few months. Actually, I was a co-expert there for about 3 days before Fansided was like, how about you come run Hoops Habit instead? And, you know, I'm very happy running Hoops Habit, but at the same time, I kind of wish they had a Star Trek site once in a while.
Fair enough. So I was just asking because I see you talk about Star Trek nonstop, and I just had to figure out, like, I know this man has had to have seen this damn show before, and because when I was following the tweets, it's like he sounds like he's just watching it, and I'm like, yeah. There's no way he had to have seen this before.
This series in particular, yeah, I am essentially watching it like with some seriousness for the first time, and am surprised at how good it is because I don't remember it being nearly this good.
Fair enough. For all you guys Star Trek fans out there, I hope you guys enjoyed that little segment. Go hit up Duncan on Twitter at DuncanSmithNBA. If you guys want to talk more Star Trek with him, I'm sure he'd love to do that. But thank you guys all for listening to the podcast. Again, thank you to Duncan for coming on here. I'll see you guys on Monday. We're less than 2 weeks away from having to finally stop having to listen to these rumors and speculation. So once again, I'll see you guys on Monday. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great day. And I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody.